Hey, you. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you. Are you looking for the best way to promote your podcast? It's easy. Just advertise your podcast to your ideal target audience. That's right, listeners of similar podcasts. Podbean has the best and most cost-effective options for you. Just go to the website sponsorship.podbean.com/STR. That's right. Your friends here at Scout Team Radio are hooking you up. Go to sponsorship.podbean.com/STR, and you will get the best deals to get your podcast rolling. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy Scout Team Radio.
Yeah.
You want to like them, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. You straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Yeah, welcome back. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. We bring it to you hot and live each and every weekday morning. I am one of your gracious hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
Yep, that is true. And the man on the other microphone, he is a great legend and a great patriot and a great American.
America, America.
Yeah, it's your boy Chris America coming to you live this Wednesday. And I didn't realize I had a hot mic, but I'm here live, loud, and in charge. But at least I have a hot mic and not a closed mic.
Yeah, ready to go. You're hot all the time, my friend. Just smoke it.
The one morning where somebody is next to me. Is it Thursday? What time? What day did I say? Oh, I said it was Wednesday. See, I'm all combobulated, Loudbeard. This is what happens when you get to the later end of the week. All the days start running together. They all look the same. They all sound the same. I mean, is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? Is it Friday? I don't know.
It's a hot Thursday. We're coming to you hot, and it is a Thursday, not a Wednesday. Hump day
it's
is behind
us.
We're on the downslide of the hump of the week, so we are on Thursday. Not Wednesday, Thursday.
Thursday. Are you excited for this Thursday? Not as hot of a day today, I don't think. At least not with the free agency. It's cooled off. Free agency has officially cooled down.
Yeah, we're in the B level moves right now, right? Like yesterday was A level, the day before A level. Now we're going to B minus, maybe C plus moves. But we're still talking about things. NFL still relevant. Free agency stuff going on. You know, golf Players Championship starts today. That's going to be hot. Basketball action last night. Your Orlando Magic, they lay an egg again. A lot of hot stuff going on. So, yeah, it's a happening Thursday. But I got to start it out because this became the hot debate yesterday. The GM from the Giants comes out, and he has to defend the move of trading OBJ.
Wait, is this the New York Football Giants or the San Francisco Baseball Giants? Or are we talking little Giants here?
We're talking the Football Giants, not the little Giants, though I could have a whole podcast about the little Giants.
Oh, man.
Such a classic.
They better re-sign Icebox. That's all I know.
I mean, it's a given, right? It's a given. Now, if you're the GM of the Football Giants, you could do any move because you don't mind trading away your superstars. So after getting so much heat from the media, from the fans, from everybody, he has to come out and say, we do have a plan. And this is part of it. Now, I think everybody's looking at him and saying, you just traded away your best asset, and you have a young running back in Saquon Barkley and an aging quarterback. Like, none of these pieces fit together. The Giants look like they're going into the pooper. So what is going on? I don't know. Do you think the GM has a plan, or do you think he's willy-nilly with this?
Well, little does anybody know, but the GM is David Gettleman, and I am very, very familiar with David Gettleman, as he was the Carolina Panthers GM for the longest time. And now you're thinking, well, he led the, or he helped lead the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl. Yes, that is true. He did. And then he proceeded to let guys like Josh Norman go. He let guys in the past like Steve Smith Sr. go. I mean, I could go on and on, all the guys he lets go. And it's not the same way that the Patriots let people go, where they're beyond their prime and everything else. He lets them go way too prematurely. Like, Steve Smith Sr. had a lot more to offer to the NFL, did he not?
Oh, yeah. And he was the face of that franchise. Like, he was the best
for the
offensive weapon.
Time.
And did you have another receiver ready to step up and take over?
None.
Do the Giants have another receiver ready to step up and take over?
Nope. None.
Like, where does that make sense? It doesn't. So we're basically living Groundhog Day. What he did to your Panthers after winning that Super Bowl, and then basically he made these moves that hurt the program. We're seeing that happen to the Giants, except he didn't take the Giants to a Super Bowl. He's basically taking them to the top of the draft every year.
Yeah, and then when you look at the Josh Norman case, when that happened, so they were going to franchise tag him. They had a franchise tag. They franchise tagged him. And then somewhere in like late March, early April, they rescinded the franchise tag and let him go. And it even came to a surprise to Josh Norman because he didn't sign it right away. He said he wanted to negotiate a deal, but when he had the offer like rescinded, he wasn't even told. He found out like everybody else through Twitter and everything. And he's like, I don't even understand what happened. Like, yeah, I was holding out. I told him, you know, I didn't want to play under the franchise tag, but I had good faith that we would negotiate a deal. I wasn't planning on holding out, you know, like a Le'Veon Bell type situation. I just wanted them to know that I'm looking for a long-term deal. And I felt like they could have gotten Josh Norman a lot cheaper than what your Redskins got him for, because he was on the team, and really the Carolina Panthers would be negotiating against themselves. Once he became a free agent, then he was able to negotiate with the Redskins and the Ravens or whoever else is out there wanting Josh Norman's services, so that allows the price to go up a little bit. So that was move that always frustrated me.
So you're telling me Josh Norman was sitting at an Applebee's with his family.
Yes.
His child
getting
was ordering.
Getting two for once.
Yeah, getting two for ones. He's got a kid ordering chicken nuggets off of the kids' meal.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden his phone just starts blowing up. And
he's
Dave
like,
Gettleman
let me check my Twitter
didn't
real
call
quick.
Him?
Let me check my Twitter real quick while I wait on my food.
Yes, and then he looks down, and all of a sudden, everybody's telling him,
Josh
the world
Norman.
Is telling him.
Yeah,
Ian Rapoport is breaking hot news. Adam
franchise
Schefter.
Tag, rescinded.
Oh, that's wrong.
I mean,
that's
this is how
wrong.
He tells it on the Rich Eisen show back in the day. So I was kind of surprised and a little upset then, but at that time, you just went to a Super Bowl, so you're like, and Gettleman we trust, and Gettleman we trust, and you just keep pounding that drum, and then you realize that it was just kind of luck. You know, that kind of got us to that Super Bowl. And it wasn't anything that he built that was built to last. And we've seen that. You know, the Panthers miss the playoffs the next year. They make it into the playoffs, but they don't have a team that's anywhere near competitive enough to compete with the other teams. That they lost in the first round for the third time in a row against the Saints last year. And then you see what they were this year. Once Cam Newton went down, it was game overies.
Yeah, there's not enough depth on that team, just not enough firepower outside of Cam Newton for them to make any significant run. And Gettleman, yeah, you're right, the built-to-last comment. I think that is what we're looking at here is the strategy. Where's the long-term success strategy at? Now, he's got to come out and say, oh, I do have a plan, because everybody's looking at it and saying, dude, you look like you don't have a plan. Like, you look like you have no idea what you're doing, and you just traded away OBJ, which we still don't know why, and you still don't look like you have a plan. So Gettleman not looking good.
Especially when 13 days ago you said we have no plans to – we didn't sign him to trade him.
Right. Again, that's another sign of, okay, somebody called you and said, hey, I'm willing to trade you a first, a third. And remember that guy in college that you loved?
Yeah.
Peppers? You
Peppers.
Can have him, too.
You can have
he
him, too.
He sucks in the NFL, but you can have him because you loved him when he came out draft day. You wanted him, so here you go. And he's like, oh, shiny toy, shiny object. I love it. And he goes, boom, nails it.
He's making John Gruden look like a genius.
Well, John Gruden is a genius.
Well, Loudbeard, I have a reason why I might have left my mic on hot and forgot what day it was and why Gettleman's making all of these bad decisions. I think I have a theory here.
Okay.
Scientists, I just learned this, scientists just told everybody that old age begins at 27 as mental powers start to decline. So we've been old for over 7 years now. I've been old for 8 years. So that's my excuse. Gettleman, I mean, he's much older than I am. So, I mean, you got to carry the one, you know, reciprocals or something like that. And then you probably got like 30 years of old age for David Gettleman.
You know, you can't argue with science. All of a sudden, you sit there and you say, science.
Yes.
And then that's it.
You say, scientists say.
You're right. If the scientists say it, if it's proven with science, it must be true.
You know when your mental peak was?
7.
No, the ripe old age of 22. And this is where I get a little bit like, I don't know if I believe this, because I can tell you at 22, I was not at my smartest and brightest.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't think we all make our best decisions at age 22, do we? No, we don't. Like, I think of a guy like Lamar Jackson. He's probably about 22, right? Maybe 23.
Probably 23, a video. 24.
Yeah, yeah. So he's at his peak of mental strength and smarts. And he posts a video, I think it was on Instagram, I'd have to double check, maybe on Twitter, of him driving 105 miles an hour. Do you think that's smart right there? Do you think he's at his mental peak when he did that?
No, definitely not at his mental peak.
No. You know, PR got to him and that he deleted it and he sends out this like really nice apology, like, I should be setting a better example for everybody. I should not be posting pictures of me being an idiot. And when he sends that and resends his initial, he's like Gettleman. He was rescinding the franchise tag. He's rescinding his stupid Instagram post of him driving 105 miles an hour. I look at that and I say, there is no way a 22, 23, 24-year-old is at their mental peak. There's just
no way.
And that right there, my friend, that is science.
Now, does this sound like a guy who's in his mental peak? A guy in England breaks into a house, steals a TV and a leather jacket. The essentials, right? Those are things you absolutely need.
First of all, you had me at leather jacket.
Yes, obviously. I'm thinking of like the Fonz coming in, jacking a TV, and he's like, oh, check out that leather jacket. Hey.
Hey, Captain Marvel wore a leather jacket. She's so hot right now.
So let me give you some advice, Loudbeard. This is the lesson we can learn from this burglar. Not that you don't burglarize. Not that you don't just take a TV and a leather jacket. It's that you don't go on a robbing spree when you have a cold. Because then, you know, you leave your handkerchief behind that you've been blowing your nose in, and that's how you get caught.
Who uses a handkerchief anyway?
People in England, I guess.
Are handkerchiefs really popular in England? Like, I know some people out there in the world use handkerchiefs. Usually it's older generations, like before they made Kleenex, the handkerchiefs were pretty hot. But I've only known
one person in my entire life to use a handkerchief. His name was Chris, and we went to high school together. He was a little bit of an odd dude to begin with, but he had a handkerchief. He was always blowing his nose and stuff, and I thought it was like the most disgusting thing ever, because he would blow his nose and then he would stuff it back in his pocket.
Yeah, that's what you do with handkerchiefs. That was like,
I know
that's
what you do,
properly
but it's like,
using a handkerchief.
I know
it just
he was,
doesn't
but
seem
in,
right.
In today's world, it just seems gross. Like
it
that's
does
what
seem
we have,
gross.
Like you said, that's what we have Kleenexes for. That's what we have, like you know, the hand sanitizers for. Like, don't stuff your snotty rag into your pocket, because then when you go to grab it again, you're grabbing the old snot. It's gross.
Oh, Chris America, we
do. And then
do
you can't
have...
break into houses. And then you can't break into houses because, yeah.
So
you're leaving it behind.
We have a Twitter line, right? We keep that open for our show at Scout Team Radio on Twitter.
Twitter
Make
line
sure
is
you
hot.
Hit us up. We got some hot take coming in from Memphis Spence. Thank you, Memphis Spence, for hitting us up. Good friend of the show, longtime listener. He has a great show that you need to listen to. College Credit Hour comes on at noon every day. But he comes in and says, the Fonz breaking into houses is a funny thing to imagine. Yeah, that's right, my boy the Fonz. He's hitting it up. Nice leather jacket. coming in. I was thinking you were going to say he was going to sneeze all over the house and leave his DNA behind because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
but
another
the handkerchief,
bad
that's
sign.
Even
the
better.
Handkerchief, bad sign, the, but...
Now, here's an honest question I need to ask you. Did the Fonz use a handkerchief?
I don't know if he did, but now I'm starting to think about it, and I'm thinking maybe it was Vinny Barbarino. Do you remember who he's from? That was John Travolta's character in what was the name of that show? Welcome Back, Carter, yeah.
Carter.
So I think when he got caught with the cops and they're like, is this your handkerchief? He said, up your nose with a rubber hose. And that makes sense because he's got a cold, and what better way to flush out your sinuses than with a rubber hose?
Yeah, it's like a neti pot, but with a rubber hose.
But with, I mean, he was the original neti pot. Before the neti pot, there was Vinny Barbarino's rubber hoses.
Yeah, whatever doctor it was that invented the neti pot needs to give all of his credit to Vinny Barbarino.
John Travolta and Vinny Barbarino.
Oh, man. Wow.
See,
this is gonna be one of those days.
I feel like I'm at my mental peak right now with this kind of content. I said that yesterday was hotter, but right now I feel like we're super hot. We're red hot with this show starting out.
You know, we have this pattern that we do. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Mondays we come in a little sluggish and we're real serious,
yeah.
And we talk about all the like serious sports news. And then by Thursday, we're just slap happy. And we basically will talk about anything and everything, and we go off the rails, and things just get interesting. And by Friday, we do our draft, and I don't know. We're falling apart at the seams, but I kind of like it. I kind of like it. I'll be honest with you.
I love it when we go a little bit off the scenes.
All right.
So you want one more story off the scenes?
All right, let's do it. One more.
All right, here's the headline. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you can't. I don't know if Mrs. Loudbeard listens to the show, but if she doesn't, then you can be open and honest. If she does, you can lie to everybody. But man puts nagging wife up for sale. I don't even want to read the story. I just wanted to read the headline.
I'm dead. I'm dead right now. If it's that easy, I mean, I'd like to know the finish of the story. Like, did he successfully get rid of her, and did he make any money off of it? Because I'm thinking this could be I could make an app for this.
All right, so here's the ad.
A great idea for an app.
Here's
telling
the
you.
Ad that he put online. Nagging wife, no tax, very high maintenance, some rust.
Classic.
And he did get inundated with calls from men offering to take her off of his hands. Is that something you want, though? Like
what kind of man actually makes that phone call? Like, I get it if you were just joking around and... Like, if we were sitting here on our show and we made a call and did it on the air, that would be funny. But
yes.
If you're, like, some weird dude and you see that article and you're like, oh, my God, I could get a woman and I just have to pay a little bit of money for her, okay. And then, I don't know, just things could get real weird real quick. So
now, I wonder if he, like, put a picture of her up because, I mean, that could have been the main difference. Like, if there's no picture, then, yeah, but you know how men are. They'll look at the picture and like they'll put it on a scale. What is the hotness level to the nagging and rust level that this guy's talking about? Now, if he really wanted to do it, he should have put himself up for sale. And then if he still got inundated with calls, he could be like, see, other people want me. So stop nagging me so much.
Right. Like I can leave right now. They're willing to take me off your hands.
Yeah. But we all know the reality behind that. Nobody's clicking or calling.
You know, that kind of reminds me of free agency in the NFL. You're like, I got this player.
Segue.
Get rid of him. Get rid of him. A lot of updates in free agency. The NFL's just going crazy. It's that time of year. Big news, Chiefs release Eric Berry, 5-time Pro Bowler.
Come
one
to
of
Carolina.
The best. Oh, man. Is he?
I don't know. I want him to.
He would be great in Carolina. I'll be honest with you. Your defense could use that leadership. But with him, with Kuechly at the linebacker spot and then Eric Berry at safety, like, you would be solid. That would be, like, a good start to a solid unit.
Yeah,
so
I would love to see
Eric Berry.
I don't know how he'd fit in with Ed Reed back there, too, but we'd make it work.
I think you mean Eric Reed.
Eric Reed. That's what did I say? Ed Reed? Yeah, I meant Eric Reed.
Yeah. Ed Reed, he's a Hall of Famer. I like him, too. You should bring Ed Reed back. Bring him back.
He should just be the defensive back coach.
Yeah. some of the other big splashes, the Ravens. The Ravens have a good day. I think the Ravens are making some good moves. They end up not, you know, they can't re-sign C.J. Mosley, but they go out and they get some names. I love the Mark Ingram pickup. So the Ravens pick up Mark Ingram, three years, $15 million. I think that's a good deal for a guy of Mark Ingram's status, his potential, his performance that he's had. So as long as he can stay healthy.
I think guys like Mark Ingram hurt guys like Le'Veon Bell because he's out here accepting $5 million a year. And what is that gap level of play between Mark Ingram and Le'Veon Bell? A lot of people right. say, like, oh, it's really, really big. But in the grand scheme of things, other people will say, man, he's a durable, reliable back. He'll get you the production that you need, and we'll let the rest of the offense work around him. And it's worth the savings of $7 to $8 million.
Well, there is also another big-time running back that signed, and this was the biggest news of the century. Black Captain America, as we know him here
yes.
affectionately mm-hmm. on our show, Adrian Peterson is returning to Washington on a 2-year, $8 million deal. I'm telling you right now, this is the good stuff.
So this is what teams are doing now. They're like, do we want the aged and seasoned, really, really good, high expensive running back like Le'Veon Bell? Or do we want the guy that's just like reliable, durable, is going to give us the carries we need, and is going to cost like way less? They're not going to be anywhere near as productive, but they're going to cost way less.
Yeah, and another example of that is Tevin Coleman, 2-year deal, $10 million in San Francisco. He's been a productive back for Atlanta for years. Again, he's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not a top five in the league type running back. But you're going to get good production out of this guy. And if he gets injured, you're going to get two or three of these guys. Whereas on a Le'Veon Bell, you put all that money and everything into him, and the running back position, there's so many injuries. There's so much that goes into it. It's like I'd rather have a stable of really good instead of having one great. And I think that's what teams are looking at, and that's why that running back position has been devalued. So I love the Tevin Coleman to San Francisco. I love the Mark Ingram to the Ravens. These are great deals, and these are quality running backs. I would prefer that as a team over what the Jets did with Bell.
So I heard an interesting question / take by Brandon Kravitz over at here locally, 96.9 The Game. Check them out. They're on at 3 in the zone. But yeah, he posed this question, and I thought it was interesting enough to bring on our show. Did Todd Gurley's playoff performance hurt Le'Veon Bell's negotiations? Did it hurt? Did it drive the market down with teams saying, wow, look, he kind of disappeared in the playoffs, and the Rams are paying him all this money. Do we really want to pay all this money and have a running back that kind of just disappears and gets worn down by the time playoffs comes around that they're not as effective as they need to be when we need them most?
It couldn't have helped, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know that it made a significant impact. I don't know that it made a big change in that negotiation, but I do know that it didn't help. It absolutely didn't help. And so Todd Gurley, who's one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid running back in the NFL, you see what happens with him. Now, it's a positive because his team made it to the Super Bowl, right? So if the Jets could make it to the Super Bowl, even if Le'Veon Bell got hurt or disappeared in the Super Bowl, that right there would be a win, no matter what, because it's the Jets, and they haven't sniffed the Super Bowl in a very long time. But you're right. If a guy can't be counted on, if guys wear down, Le'Veon Bell has had the most touches per game, I think, in his career than any other active player right now. So, I mean, you're just looking at what you're getting out of it. And I'm not big on paying these running backs these big-time offers, and a lot of the other NFL isn't. And you're right, Todd Gurley could have affected that market tremendously.
So here's my other thought yesterday that I had, thinking about all these deals and seeing all these contracts. Now, certain positions are starting to kind of catch up to the quarterbacks, right? You're seeing wide receivers getting up towards $20 million. You're starting to see guys like Khalil Mack reach that $20 million benchmark and everything. But you still have a lot of guys that are just so far behind what these quarterbacks are getting paid. And I'm wondering how this big financial gap between the quarterback position and then the rest of the entire league is going to affect this new CBA. Because while you have this salary cap and you can sit there and say, well, the players are getting 48.5% of the revenue share and everything else like that, you got to sit there and think like, man, I'm out here putting my life on the line, my head on the line as a linebacker. I'm out here as a running back. I'm out here as a wide receiver, and I'm getting paid $15, $20 million less. Or guys like Le'Veon Bell can say, man, I'm a top running back in this league. I contribute big time to wins, to money, to all this other stuff. And here is a guy like a backup quarterback. I can't think of one right now. Like, let's say Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't know what his contract is, but here he is making right around the same amount that I'm making, and he's just a backup quarterback. What gives? Do you think this sort of financial gap is going to create problems in the next CBA to where, yeah, it's great that the quarterbacks are making money, but what about the rest of us?
I'm going to reluctantly answer this no.
Okay.
I think that we've gotten to the point where we know that the QB is that on a pedestal, right? That's that one position that touches the ball every play, the most important player on the team, typically the captain. I mean, that's the prime time. So guys going in, the wide receivers, the running backs, the safeties, the punters, the long snappers, all the other positions know that. And that's nothing new. Now, yeah, there's going to be some resentment, and there may be some slight push towards trying to level that out a little bit. But in the end, it's a market, right? And the market has dictated that the quarterback deserves the most money.
Well, it's
and they're going to get it.
It's a little bit of a controlled market, though, too, isn't it? Where owners are saying, let's dump a lot of money, and they're not doing it collectively. But it seems like owners are like, well, let's dump a lot of money into our quarterback and then spend really cheap on everything else. So if I dump $30 million into my quarterbacks and everybody else does that same, with the salary cap the way that it is, we have to spend less, much less on the other positions.
Yeah.
So it's not like a true market. Like, I feel like if there was no salary cap, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Khalil Mack, they'd all be getting at least $5 to $10 million more than what they're getting now.
So, what do you think there should be some sort of cap based on how much percentage you can pay each player?
I don't know.
Position?
Yeah, maybe you do something. Maybe the players ask for something like that, where the quarterback can only take up a certain percentage of the revenue. Because again, like I agree 100% with what you're saying. Quarterbacks drive sales. Quarterbacks make the world go round. But not every quarterback does that. Like, I don't know that Derek Carr is going to be the highest jersey sales at the Oakland Raiders anymore. I believe that Antonio Brown is either going to meet those sales or exceed them. But
and
he's
he got
gonna,
paid
he's,
pretty
yeah,
fairly.
He did, but he's still $10 million less or whatever it is. I'd have to look back at Derek Carr's contract, but he's still considerably less than what it is. Or what if you're that left tackle blocking for Derek Carr, making Derek Carr look good, where if you're not there, Derek Carr looks just like a crappy quarterback. I mean, we've seen that all the time where you put a bad offensive line and you can make any quarterback look terrible.
Yeah, and the offensive line and defensive line, they don't get the credit. That's not a rock star position. That's like the drummer, right?
Right.
Like, you rarely know who the drummer is of a band. You always know the lead singer. The quarterback's the lead singer. They're the money man.
Yeah.
But where are you without that drummer? That drummer holds the beat. He keeps the rhythm going. You need him.
Right. Where's Axl Rose without Guns N' Roses? He's just some fat slob out there like that nobody cares about. Just like when Freddie Mercury left Queen. Freddie Mercury, greatest frontman of all time. Does anybody remember any of Freddie Mercury's greatest hits? No. He needed Queen. And Axl needed Guns N' Roses. He needed Slash.
Yeah, you need each other. Symbiotic relationship.
Yes, sorry to derail us into that conversation. It was just something I was thinking about because the CBA is coming up soon, and I hope it's a peaceful, fair negotiation. Nobody wants to see a holdout or a lockout or even a, God forbid, a strike like baseball did. But we'll see what happens, man. Football players are getting more and more disgruntled with their CBA, though. That is for sure.
I don't know. Some guys are getting paid I'm going to look at this one deal that happened. The Raiders, they lock up Tyrell Williams, wide receiver, 4 years, $44 million.
Yeah, now, that's a great deal. I don't even know who Tyrell Williams is.
That's my point. This is
So that's like one guy on one idiotic team that has money to just throw away.
I mean, he's a decent wide receiver. He played.
You tell me they paid that
Chargers.
Guy, but they're not going to pay Khalil Mack. Are you serious right now?
Four-year, $44 million on a. I mean, he's a second tier, maybe even third tier wide receiver. He's never put up the numbers like a number one. So they're bringing him in as a number two wide receiver, hoping that he can match up with Antonio Brown. But 4 years, $44 million for a guy like this. I mean. It's not even a name. I mean, maybe they're looking at potential. Maybe they're looking at growth. But, yeah, you're right. You can't pay Khalil Mack. I mean, John Gruden just wants his own guys. That's all it is to it. If he likes a guy, he'll pay him bring him in, and do whatever he can for him. That's the classic John Gruden for you.
Yeah, now it's Mike Mayock. Well, they took a picture together, Mike Mayock, John Gruden, and Antonio Brown. And I'm going to play a little game with you on the other side of the break, Loudbeard, called What You Eatin'.
Listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-ounce sports radio. Quench your sports thirst.
Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world, those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. Podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for?
Hey, everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
Well there, welcome back, listeners. We're glad to have you back listening to Scout Team Radio. I'm Loudbeard. He's Chris America. We come at you hot and live each and every weekday. That's right. We come live at 6 a.m. on 12-ounce Sports Radio. You can also catch the replay on 12-ounce Sports at 11 a.m. We record each and every episode and drop it as our podcast. That podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and anywhere you can find a podcast, including a partnership we have with the Barn Burner Podcast Network. You can check them out at barnburner.ca. We have a great partnership with them. Hey, if you want to get social with us, if you want to hit up Chris America, if you want to hit up Loudbeard, just check out Twitter at Scout Team Radio. Tweet at us. Tell us your thoughts. Tell us your opinions. We'll read them on the air. We'll get involved. We'll get interactive. It is a lot of fun. We encourage all of you to do that. Hey, and if you check out that podcast, make sure you like, you rate, you review, you follow, you do whatever you can, because we appreciate the support out there. And we have the best listeners in all of the world listening to Scout Team Radio right now. But right now, I'm getting a little hungry.
Getting a little hungry.
Yep. It's time for some food talk.
Yeah, so I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I see this picture of quite the crew here of John Gruden, Antonio Brown, and Mike Mayock sitting at a press conference table. And I started thinking, like, what are these guys eating when they go out to eat? And I thought, well, what does Ladbeer think they're eating? I'm going to come up with some food options here, and I want you to place each food option with each gentleman, either John Gruden, Antonio Brown, or Mike Mayock, and you can only give one food item to each person, so you can't, like, double up. You can maybe say, like, I think they might like this too, but we'll just roll with it, all right?
All right, I'm rolling with it. I'm ready for this.
I came up with this last night, so we don't have any cool, segment music for it or anything.
Yeah, we
like
do.
That, so.
But
I literally came up with the name of what you eating as I was talking about the teas.
I love it. I love it. What you eating? That's
all
our
right,
new segment.
Beard. Here we go. We got pizza being delivered. We're gonna have a Hawaiian pizza, a Meat Lover's pizza, and a Supreme pizza. What you eating over there, John Gruden?
All right. So John Gruden, and he's definitely a Hawaiian pizza guy. You know, putting a little pineapple on his pizza. He's a little character. You know, he needs a little bit of that. That sweet pineapple juice on his pizza. So
he's a little unorthodox.
Yeah, he is a little unorthodox. I would have to agree with that. So John Gruden, he is by far our Hawaiian pizza expert.
All right, Antonio Brown, what you eating?
All right, so Antonio Brown, he's got to go Supreme because he's the ultimate diva. He's like, I want everything on this. He's like, I don't just want veggies. I just don't want meat. I want it to be a Supreme. I want a little bit of sausage. I want a little bit of pepperoni. I want some black olives, some green pepper. I want it all because I'm Supreme. My pizza needs to be Supreme. So Antonio Brown, he's going Supreme.
So you're
and
going
you know what that yeah. that leaves?
Meat
Mike
lovers
Mayock.
For Mr. Mayock.
He's a meat guy. He's like, he's a red-blooded American. He's old school. He's like, I eat meat for breakfast, I eat meat for lunch, I eat meat for dinner, and if I'm going to order a pizza, it's going to have some meat on it, and that's it. I just want meat. He might not even order cheese or sauce or bread. It might just be a meat lover's pizza without the pizza. It's just meat. He's a red-blooded American right there.
I like it. Honestly, I think it would have gotten all different answers, but I like your answers, and I like your explanations for those answers. See, I would have said the diva-ness in Antonio Brown would have made him want the Hawaiian pizza, the pizza with the flair, the finesse, the color, the different range of flavors. And I see, like, John Gruden being that, like, pretend rough and tough guy getting the meat lovers, and Mayock being the, like, I'm going to pretend I'm being healthy by putting vegetables on my pizza.
Well, I mean, you can have your opinion, but you're wrong.
Yeah, definitely wrong. All right, so my next, we're going to go to a steak restaurant, or not a steak restaurant, but just a fancy fine dining restaurant. And your options, Loudbeard, is steak, fish, or chicken salad, chicken Caesar salad. Where are we going? What you eating, Mike Mayock? We'll go the opposite direction.
Okay. Ooh. This now we're getting a little bit more interesting here, right? So, all right, so Mike Mayock, you know what? I'm going to go a different route this time. I'm going to have to say you sold me on the healthiness. He's going to say, I want to order something healthy, even though it's going to have a lot of salad dressing on it, and it's really not as healthy as it looks. Mike Mayock, he's a total chicken Caesar salad guy.
I like it.
So then we got to swing over to Gruden, right?
Yeah, yep.
Gruden's ordering the fish because this guy, everything he does, it's a little fishy, right? Like, he's a little suspect about what he's doing. So John Gruden, You wonder, like, oh, you're not going to pay Khalil Mack and you're going to trade him for two first rounds. Even though Gruden wasn't the GM, he's making the moves. He's pulling the strings. He's making all the money. He's a fishy, right? You don't know. He's behind the scenes. He's like, no, Nathan Peterman, best quarterback I've ever seen in my life. You're like, that's fishy. Everything that he says and does, it's a little fishy. So if I go to a nice fine dining establishment, I go with John Gruden. He's ordering the fish, and he's not just ordering just like a normal fish. He's ordering the smelliest fish. You know, it could still have the head on it. You know, those weird ones. That's what he's ordering at the fish, the kind of fish he's ordering. And lastly, steak. We're going Antonio Brown's going steak. He needs his protein.
Yeah.
He just wants a big steak dinner. He just got paid the big money. He's like, he wants to go, I want the most expensive steak in the whole restaurant. He's like, make John Gruden pay for it because he makes more money than I do, but I want some steak. Bring it. And he, you know what, though? The problem with Antonio Brown, after I saw him with that blonde mustache, he orders the steak, but he orders it well done. It kills the flavor.
Oh.
That's the when you have a blonde mustache and you make decisions like that in
your
life,
definitely order
you
well
go
done.
Order it well done. He orders the steak, which is a good choice. I'd order the steak for myself. But when you go well done, he kills it. But that's what Antonio Brown does.
He cuts in the steak and sees a little bit of pink and sends it back.
Yeah, he's like, look at that. You're trying to kill me? I could get salmonella. They're like, salmonella's chicken, dude. And he's like, I don't care. I have a blonde mustache.
I don't care. Trade me.
Trade me.
Trade me this steak. Okay, we got to go drinks too, Loudbeard. So I'm going to throw out some options of beer, wine, and cocktail.
Okay.
Where's Antonio Brown going? Let's start with him first.
Ooh, Antonio Brown. All right, so Antonio Brown's going cocktail. He's a little flamboyant. He had that blue little bit in his hair. He has the blonde mustache.
Are we talking fruity cocktail, like a Hawaiian hurricane, or Hawaiian hurricane's not a drink, but a hurricane, or
no?
He's
definitely ordering Hawaiian hurricane.
Or is it like a rum and coke?
No. He's not ordering a rum and coke. He's going exotic. You know, he's looking down the list. He's like, I want a purple nurple. I want a whatever.
He says, I see this drink with an umbrella in it. I don't know what it is. I just want the umbrella.
Yes. He's like, that would give me some good shade. I like throwing shade on things. And that's what he does. He wants the umbrella in his drink. He's got purple nurple, a lemon drop special. And he mixes them all together. I can handle it all. I'm the best ever. And so he goes straight cocktail. Now, I'm going to go Mike Mayock next. Mike Mayock, he's a beer drinker, right? Again, I talked about him with the pizza. He wanted to order the meat lovers without the pizza, just the meat. He's straight beer, and he's not fancy beer. He's old school. He's like, I want a PBR. He's like, it's a good value. It's quality taste. It's a classic Pabst Blue Ribbon. He's like, I remember when this won the actual Blue Ribbon in the 1917 World Fair. He was around for that. And so it's sentimental to him. It brings him back to a better time in his life when he was young and spry and really enjoyed the good things in life. So Mike Mayock, he's total Pabst Blue Ribbon. He's ordering a beer. He's a man's man. He's not going to order it. Now, John Gruden, he orders a wine, right? He says, I want a glass of your finest Cabernet.
Oh, he's a cab guy, huh?
Yeah, and they don't aerate it properly when they bring it out to him. So he sends it back, and they have to bring out like the aerator that like puts the bubbles into the wine.
Yeah,
he has to see it happen in front of him because he's a snob. He's a wine snob.
And then he breaks it down too. He's like, boom, check it out right here. See this right here? This is a split Y2 banana as the aerator goes.
Yes. He does it as he's talking. I'm sure his family hates him for it, depending on who he's having his wine with. So he takes it. He does the old picks the glass up and kind of swirls it around a little bit, does the little smell test, and then he sips it and lets it sit there and say he savors the flavor. He says, my palate is just so refreshed right now. And John Gruden, he's a wine snob, and he really enjoys the finer things in life. And John Gruden's ordering a wine.
Is he the guy that sits there and like smells it? Talks to you about all the oaky.
He gives it
scent
the good old sniff. Yeah, he says, ooh, this is a full-bodied. I can smell the rich aroma of the wood flavorings and the
from the barrel,
the grape seeds that were smushed. Yeah, 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 he does all that stuff. I don't know what
it down
wine people
you.
Say, but yeah, he
yeah, me neither.
Oh, he can break it down better than anybody else can break it down.
Now I have to ask Loudbeard, have you ever been to like a winery or a wine tasting or anything like that?
Yes, I have. They're pretty interesting.
Do you smell it just because that's what everybody else is doing?
No, I don't. I don't. I can't
have,
do it.
From time to time.
I don't know what we're doing for me.
It doesn't do anything for me either, but I don't want to like be that guy that's not doing what everybody else is doing. Sometimes you got to fit in.
No, you don't. Not in that crowd.
That's true.
I don't care. I can fit out of that
crowd.
But
if you're sitting here telling me you've never swirled a glass of wine and smelled it, you didn't know why you were doing it, you were just doing it just because everybody else was doing it, you're lying to me.
So
everybody's done that in their life.
I've done it when nobody else is doing it. That's when
that's
you do
even
it.
Worse.
No, it's not.
Because then it's like,
why
are you doing
it? And then I do it, I look like I'm just following the leaders. If I'm at a group of with a out with
but if
a group
you're,
of people,
if you're like by yourself and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just doing it. That's kind of weird.
Right. And typically I'm a beer guy, so like this happens very
right.
rarely.
Yeah.
But like if the mood hits me, like if it's a full moon, I'm half werewolf, half teen wolf.
When the moon
I'll
hits your eye, like a big pizza pie.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get my wine and then I look around and I see everybody else and I just casually look away, start swirling my wine. Smell it and drink it, and then just kind of out of the side of my eye, see what everybody's reaction is. That is the right time to do it because they look at you like you're either a genius or you're an idiot. Either way, it's classic.
All right, we got two more menu items we need to get through. We have the side items and dessert. Let's just quickly go through the side items. We got steamed vegetables, a loaded baked potato, and French fries.
Because right.
there's always that person that you're at a fine dining restaurant and they still order fries if they have it on the menu.
All right. There's nothing wrong with fries. They call them steak
fries. I mean,
there isn't,
but when
restaurant.
You get this like 16-ounce porterhouse steak and then you're eating it with French fries, it's like putting ketchup on it. I don't know. It seems kind of childish
right.
to me.
All right. Okay. So you're throwing shade on me. I like French fries. I like a nice steak fry at my restaurants. No, if it's a real nice steak place, usually there's other side items.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts, like if you go to the real nice, like Ruth Chris or Fleming's or something like that, they usually have a really good Brussels sprout that you can order. I'm just saying that is my favorite side.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at this, let me start out with Chucky, John Gruden. So he's going baked potato, right? Like he wants it all. This
loaded.
Guy, he wants everything in life. He's like, hey, throw on chives. I want sour cream. I want cheese. And not just cheddar. I want that mixed
cheese.
You know, some
five
white cheese. Yeah, five cheese blend. I want it all. And you better find the finest five cheeses and blend them together. He wants it all, you know. He's like with the Raiders. He wants draft picks. He wants players. He wants to pay guys named Tyrell Williams.
He doesn't want you to bring it out. Like, he's going to pick his guys. He's going to pick his cheese. Like, don't bring me in this, like, blend that I didn't pick. I want to pick it all.
Oh, yeah. And then,
so even if you're putting in the finest cheese, I didn't pick it, so I'm going to trade it away. Come bring me some. Like, even if it's Kraft cheese, I don't care. Just put it in there because it's my guy.
And then he looks over and he sees Nathan Peterman as, like, a food runner, and he's like, I want that guy to bring out my baked potato.
Yeah.
He's the best food runner I've ever seen in my life. Bring him out here. The talent is oozing out of him. It's oozing out of him
we
like machismo.
They're like, we actually just fired him because he's broken like 15 glasses in the back.
Yeah.
he just can't seem to do anything right. Like, he's constantly delivering to the wrong tables. He's getting people's food orders wrong. And he's broken like 15 glasses in the last 20 minutes.
I don't care. True.
I still want him.
Okay. Okay, we'll go with that. Next... Mike Mayock, you might be surprised with this one, but he's ordering the French fries. He's a guy that's just like, I'll do whatever I want. If I want to order French fries, if I want to look like a juvenile, I will. I'll do that. I don't care. But I want them to be nice steak fries, and I want you to know that I'm Mike Mayock. I'm pulling the strings, even though John Gruden is the puppet master, and I'm not really pulling the strings. But I'll go ahead and order French fries. I'm going to take that one for the team, where Antonio Brown... See, Antonio Brown, he knows. He's like, I'm still playing. Right now, I'm playing. I got to be in good shape. I'm going to order the steamed veggies so I can be, you know, ripped, because I'm a player, and this is how I roll. So Antonio Brown, steamed veggies, and that's my final answer.
Yeah, and the Mike Mayock is like, it's not juvenile. I asked for seasoned fries. Seasoned fries is not juvenile.
Yep.
All right, finally, we got to get through dessert, Loudbeard, really quick. We got 6 minutes left in the show. We got chocolate lava cake, cheesecake, and I'll just have a cup of coffee, please.
All right, so lava cake, cheesecake, coffee. So getting coffee out of the way, Mike Mayock's a coffee guy. He's just like, I want it black, I want it hot, and bring it out here because I just want a cup of coffee. You know, it's that older generation. That's what he does. That's Mike Mayock's a coffee guy. Now, cheesecake, that's got to be Chucky, right? John Gruden. And it can't just be a normal cheesecake. It's got to be a 5-cheese blend, and he wants to pick out every cheese that goes into that cheesecake.
And he wants Nathan Peterman to bring it to him.
And then he looks over, and the cheesecake runner is Nathan Peterman, and he says, Nathan Peterman, that's who I want to run
He's
out.
Like, I don't care that you dropped my potato the last time you delivered it to me. I still want you, kid.
Yeah, you have a lot of potential. I can see it in you. I can see that you could potentially be the best food runner in the world.
I don't want to talk about your low floor. I just want to talk about your high ceiling.
Lava cake has got to be Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, he's flashy, right? He's like, okay, I did steamed vegetables for dinner, but I still have a little bit of room left, and I got to get myself a hot lava cake. He wants that thing to be erupting when it comes out, though. That's the only thing he says to the server, and it's not Nathan Peterman because he's the food runner. The server, who is overwhelmed by what Antonio Brown has done to him, ordered this whole time, he says, Antonio Brown, what kind of dessert you want? Antonio Brown says, I want a volcano cake, but that thing better be erupting when it comes out. And if it's not erupting, you better bring it back and bring another one that is erupting, because he is going to erupt onto this dessert. I don't know what else to say. Blonde mustache. what else? All right, that's
Loud
what I'm eating. What
it,
you eating?
And I'm glad towards the end you tapped into your inner Irishman as you're like, I'm going to eat myself a lava cake.
You know, when you're straight from Ireland, that's what happens, my friend. Sometimes you just don't understand.
St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner.
And maybe that's why I order French fries for a side, because it's that whole potato famine thing.
Slice them and fry them.
We can do so much with potatoes. You have no idea. I'm an expert potato maker.
You got potato skins, French fries, mashed potatoes. Potato en guava.
You're like Bubba from Forrest Gump. You're like, we got fried shrimp. But you do that with potatoes, right? Yeah. I do that with potatoes because I'm the Irishman. You're not. You're American.
I am Irish.
Whatever. You're not even like Conor McGregor. You're not Irish.
America is an Irish name.
On a side note, you had a heated debate the other day.
Did I?
About Conor McGregor and Kareem Hunt.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started. Why did you even bring that up?
Our listeners have no idea what we're talking about, but I think it's better that we move on from that. 3 minutes left. I've got a whole page of notes here. I didn't even go over any of it. So
yeah, sorry. I sidetracked us with the what you eat.
No, I loved it. I loved that segment. I actually got way into it. I'm going to do we're going hot here. Blake Bortles released. Saddest day of my life.
Bortles combat. Fatality.
Baseball, they're throwing in Home Run Derby. They want to give the winner $1 million to make this event more exciting. Do you think basketball should do that with like the dunk contest and stuff?
Yes. But I mean, it's not going to, I don't think it's going to attract many of the superstars. Like Steph Curry's making $40 million a year. I don't think an extra million is going to, you know, get him to come out. Or same with LeBron and KD and all those guys. But I do want to say, have you seen the one-sided Twitter feud between Jose Canseco and Alex Rodriguez?
I heard about it. I haven't looked that closely at it. Jose Canseco's a crazy dude.
I follow him, and in between his come join me on an excursion to find Bigfoot, you could pay me money for that, he's also calling out Alex Rodriguez, but he's not adding him, so it seems kind of like scared, but he's basically saying that Alex Rodriguez is cheating on his wife with Jose Canseco's ex-wife, and he's like, I challenge you to an MMA fight, and then he's like, I challenge you to a polygraph test, And finally, I'm like, dude, let's get to the long and short of this, okay? We want to see you two in a home run derby. Settle it with a home run derby. Would you watch that over the regular home run derby?
No.
Oh, really?
Jose Canseco's falling apart, man. His finger
fell
off.
That's the best part about it. You want to see the train wreck, man.
I'd rather see him in an MMA fight.
No, I don't know. I feel like that would just be sad. At least
I mean, it would be interesting. I could.
You would watch it though, right?
I would watch it. Yeah, I would watch it.
Yeah. Settle this debate. Is Alex Rodriguez cheating? If Jose Canseco beats him in a home run derby, then Alex Rodriguez is definitely cheating. But if not, A-Rod is still a good guy.
Wow, we're getting down to it. Tiger Woods tees off at 127 today. He's paired with Webb Simpson, 2018 Players Championship winner. That's my golf talk for today.
Would you name your kid Webb?
Nope. Colgate defeats Bucknell in the Patriot League tournament and gets their first NCAA bid since 1996. Yeah,
I mean,
we're hot.
If they can beat gingivitis, they can beat anybody.
Warriors end the Rockets' 9-game winning streak.
Comes to an end.
Wah, wah, wah. Boogie
it's
Cousins
so
passes to Steph Curry on the sideline.
To say goodbye.
The problem is Steph Curry was on the bench, and it was a beautiful pass. Steph still grabs the ball and shoots
the ball?
It. Boogie Cousins.
No, see, he's still trying to, you know, he's been out for a year. Give the guy a break.
He's rusty. He's still rusty.
He's rusty like that wife in that ad.
Rusty.
Good old Rusty.
Thank you all for listening in. Check us out every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. on 12 on Sports Radio or our podcast. It's out there. It's hot. Rate,
subscribe,
review, like.
Subscribe. Would you name your kid Rusty or Webb if you had to choose? Do it now.
I'd pick Webb over Rusty.
Oh, yeah, me too.
If I had two kids, I'd name them Charlotte and Webb.